You're at a match event when someone asks,
"So, what did you think of my cocktail making skills?"
Well,
oh no, my first match event and I did my sheep laugh. Maybe he didn't notice. Oh, who am I kidding? He's going to tell his friends he met a farm animal. Quick, say something.
Did I just laugh like a sheep?
You've really sheared me up.
He's really funny. Definitely a keeper.
Join a community full of keepers with Match Events. Download Match and start something real.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dope Black Woman podcast. And we have a returning guest with us, ZZ Mills.
Welcome again. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know if you remember that you were on Dope Black Woman podcast 2 years ago, I think.
No, I do. I remember.
In the height of the pandemic.
Right, yeah. And everyone was just literally zooming our lives away. And yeah, I remember.
And here we are still zooming our lives away.
I know, right? We've kept some of the pandemic culture, which I'm not mad at, to be fair. I'm not mad at it.
Well, this is what I was going to start off with. I mean, so much has happened since, I think it was 2020 you were on. A whole pandemic has happened. You've been doing a lot of acting. Your hosting has like proper ton up even more than it was before. And now you're hosting a live stream to Road to Afro Nation. I mean, your career has taken this whole new trajectory. And what's the most like exciting part about it? You know, like what are you enjoying the most?
I think what I'm enjoying the most is getting to do something that I really enjoy as a job, as a career, if that makes sense. I know that sounds like such a typical thing to say, but I honestly don't take it for granted, because I have been in that position where I've had to wake up every morning and go to like a job that I don't really like. Do you get what I mean? So because I've experienced that, I never take it for granted. Like when I was in Portugal doing the live stream, it was just weird to me, because I'm like, wait a minute, I've always wanted to go Afro Nation, like from when Afro Nation first happened, and I missed it first one, and then I booked for this one, but this one didn't happen because of the pandemic. So then to be there and actually working with like YouTube and Afro Nation, it was just a bit of like a pinch me moment. So those type of things are the most exciting and rewarding things for me personally. Yeah,
so it's still kind of surreal.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you get to have fun. Like you're working, but then you're also having fun, and you get to meet people. And then, you know, I stayed an extra day because I wanted to watch Chris Brown. So even all of those things, it just, you know, I never take it for granted. Yeah.
Is this something that you saw for yourself from the very beginning? Like, how did you even get to this place? What did you say, yes, I want to start hosting, yes, I'm going to be an actress, this is what I'm going to do? Like, what was
I think the acting thing was like a thing where I said I wanted to do it from a young age, my mom tells me. So I think the acting thing, that was like I want to do this. This is something that I want to chase. And then the whole presenting, hosting thing kind of came because the acting thing wasn't really going the way I wanted it to go. So then I tried to find something else. But even then, I didn't necessarily think it would be what it is now, if that makes sense. Like when I released the first ZZ Mills show, I was just like, well, we'll see what happens. Like whatever happens, happens. I tried, do you get what I mean? Or I'm trying at the time. So yeah, it's always still, it wasn't like this part wasn't planned. I think the acting thing was more of a planned, I wanted to do it type of thing. Whereas this was just like an after, because that wasn't really working out. But this is seems to be the thing that's working out. How it goes, isn't it?
I was watching your most recent interview with Lotta Ash.
Right, yeah.
And you were talking about kind of how sometimes life turns out to be so much more than what you expected it to be, or completely different than what you expected it to be, and how you went through this kind of like mid-quarter life crisis. I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. What was it like? Where did it come from?
It was, I think, again, it's just like the pressure that we put on ourselves, you know. Of like, I have to hit this goal by this time, and if I don't, I'm waste or I'm a failure. And I think just looking back on it, it was kind of, I wish I just enjoyed that time. Even the time where I was like, oh my God, things are not going great. My life, it still was fun. I still had fun times, but I was so caught up in, you know, things not happening that I didn't enjoy those fun times to the fullest, if that makes sense. Do you get what I mean? Like, when you look back now, you think, oh my God, I was having so much fun. But I also remember at that time, I was really down and I felt a certain type of way, but I could have just had fun. I could have just enjoyed the process of how, you know, life is. But I think obviously hindsight is good. And like I said, I'm still young. So now I kind of just adopt that culture always. So even now, if I don't think things are going my way, I just always remember to just enjoy that moment, because I'll look back in like a couple of years time and be like, do you know what, it all worked out. So, you know, when you think things are not working out, they usually will work out. Do you get what I'm saying? So just enjoy that time.
Yeah, I think that's that pressure in particular is something that women have to deal with more so than I think. I don't know if you feel that way as well.
Yeah, there's just so many things also that we have to think of. Like, even yesterday I was talking to someone and I was saying, like, you know, as I've got older and probably more kind of settled in my ways, I've thought, like, you know, do I want to have children? You know, all these things that you're kind of told you should have, like, you should be a mum by this age, you should want to get, like, I definitely want to have like a companion or something of that nature. But when I think, like, do I really, like, is it, you know? And I think I saw some of a post the other day and it was like, like, when you have kids, you have to really, really want them. Like, you should really, really want the kids. And they said, you don't just have kids because, you know, I can't remember what they said, but it resonated with me, because I thought, yeah, is that something that I truly like desire? You know, like, you meet some women and they like say, you know, from 13 or 14, I've just always wanted to be a mum. Like, I've just wanted to be a mum, and I've never been that type of woman. So it's just kind of like, oh, do I want it? And then I was like, you know, and then kind of like what I was saying, it's like we have all these like preconceived, you know, ideas of what we should be like as a woman, or what makes us a woman. Do you get what I mean? So I'm thinking about those things and where those things have come from as well. Like, who told me I'm supposed to be a mum? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Who told me, like, where did I get this idea from? So I'm like challenging all those types of things myself, because then also, you know, I'm 33 at the end of this month. And then it's all that kind of thing. Like, you haven't had kids yet. You're not settled down yet. Like, all these other things, as well as like trying to make sure you've got like this good career. Then it's all these other things, like, well, why does anyone want you? Why are you single? And all these other things. It's like, oh God, can I breathe or not?
You know, I know what you mean. Like, I'm 38 now. And so you can imagine.
Oh my gosh, you're so young. Gosh.
But yeah, I mean, I get that pressure every time I go to the gyno. She's like, so why are you not having any children yet?
Right.
I'm talking to my aunts and uncles, they're like, when are you going to get married? Why you don't have a boyfriend? And it's funny because I'm starting to create this life for myself where I'm trying to go kind of spend half my time in Jamaica and half my time here. And they're first question is like, so what are you going to do when you have a kid? And I'm just like, I'll just strap the baby on my back and keep it pushing. Why do I need to dictate? Why does anybody need to dictate what me raising a child would look like if I even you know what I mean? And I think a lot of women in our group are struggling with that as well. As like, how do they live their lives without having people judge them for it? And I feel like you have a very even in your interviews, you're quite open and you're quite honest and you're quite, and as a result, people perceive you as being quite controversial. And how do you manage kind of the judgment and the backlash and the questions and all of that? Like, what advice would you give to some of the women?
I think, you know, I think nothing gives me more peace than being myself, if that makes sense. Because it's like, you don't have to filter yourself. You don't have to like constantly, like when I talk, I'm just talking from how I feel. And I've been like that from the beginning. So I don't ever have to change how I am the more, I guess, the more popular or the more people know about me, because I've always kind of been myself. So I think what happens sometimes is you get to a certain level and then you kind of have to start like filtering yourself or changing or whatever. And then you, then when it comes to creating content, because my content is quite just me being me, I don't have to overthink it. It's just, if I want to tweet something, it's literally how I'm thinking at that moment. Or if I want to do a video, it's how I'm thinking at the moment. And when I started this, I always thought, I don't want to ever have to like filter myself or second guess what I'm saying, because that's not how people know me, if that makes sense. So I kind of just from the beginning just said everything that I wanted to say, and whether you agree with me, you don't, you do or you don't, that's up to you. But I'm not gonna like not say what I want to say. That is just gives me the freedom to kind of just be me and not have to overthink anything, because that's, again, that's not how I am. So yeah.
That's interesting, actually, because having grown up in a Jamaican household, you're often taught, like, don't air your dirty laundry. Or,
You know,
you have to keep up appearances a certain way. So were your parents strict about, like, you know, what you were allowed to say? Like, how was your what was your parents' response when you first started doing ZZ Mills?
When I first started doing ZZ Mills show, my mum was not impressed at all. She was just like, what is going on? Why are you talking about your sexuality? Why are you why are you swearing? What is going on? And I was just kind of like, do you know what? I said to her, I remember she sent me this like long essay, and I said to her, like, you know, it's, I'm not gonna like, even look to my, even to my mom, I was like, I'm not gonna change. So it's either you don't watch it to just bear yourself how you're feeling now, which fine. Or you watch it, and but if you watch it, I don't want essays every week. So decide what you want to do, basically. That was kind of my thing. And I remember that I spoke to one of my friends, and she was just like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but also get what your mum's saying. You have to understand where she's coming from. So I remember I just sent her like a bunch of flowers after she sent me this. She sent me this like long essay about why she thought this was wrong and da 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 da. And I remember I sent her like a bunch of flowers, and I think the note said something like, sorry if I upset you, but hopefully it'll all be worth it, or something along the lines of that. And I just left it at that. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not, I'm, I wasn't gonna stop talking how I spoke, but I didn't want her to be upset. So yeah, that was kind of the response from her. And even sometimes my friends, they'd be a bit like, oh, don't you think that's a bit much? Like, you shouldn't have said that. And I was just like, listen, Neil, don't worry about me. Like, just it's fine. Just don't, it's fine. And yeah, that kind of, that's kind of how it is. Yeah.
I mean, my parents are not even alive, and I still worry about the things that I say on the podcast. Like, oh my God, my aunt might be listening to this, or my godmother might be listening to this. Yeah, but yeah, it's true. You just have to be yourself and cross your fingers that nobody's gonna take it personally, I suppose. How does she feel about it now? Does she watch, or does she just not watch now?
Oh yeah, she watches. She watched from before, and I think she got used to it, and then she'd even like message me, be like, oh, that was a good interview, I wish you asked this. Or she'd be like, I wish you let him finish saying this, because he was about to say something really interesting, and then you cut him off. And I'll be like, yeah, mom. But she, yeah, she likes, she loves it now. And that's one thing about my mum, even if she has a little bit of a about it, she will always still support. Do you get what I mean? She'll always go and watch. She'll always, yeah. So now, yeah, she, like, even now when I'm out and I'm like, with people come and be like, oh, hi, ZZ. And I'm like, hi, oh, you're right. She's like, oh my God, you need to be more lively when people come up to you. And I'm like, mum, like, they know what I'm like. They know I'm not like, hi, oh my God, you're right, yeah. I'm like more chilled and laid back. So yeah, but you need to be, you know. And I'm like, oh, they understand. Fine.
It's good. Turning into a proper mama Joe.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
I mean, you've done a lot of interviews, and my, obviously as a Jamaican, some of my favorite interviews have been with Jamaican artists, like the B-Man interview, Sean Paul interview was actually really good, because I don't think I've ever seen him be more open.
Thank you.
With another interviewer. And then obviously the White Yardie interview was very controversial, but extremely good, and it brought up a lot of, I think, sociocultural issues that But what's been your kind of favorite interview, and your least favorite, actually, if you want to.
I have a few favorites. Like, I really enjoyed speaking with Julie. That was like a sparring match, because she's obviously does her thing as well. Yeah. So she's so good at her job as well. So it was like a sharpening iron moment. Like, do you get what I mean? She really kept me on my toes, and I love that. And like people like Russ, because he just gave me so much. And even, you know, like there's been so many. I've had so many good interviews. Like even, Russ, Julie, Ed Sheeran, like Wiley will always be like one of my favorites, because that was just such a like a moment. Like culturally, it was such a thing. My least favorite would probably be, it's not my least favorite, but I would say my tough ones where I've been like, oh my God, it's like drawing blood from a stone. It's probably like Ocean. He knows that. I always say that because he was so difficult, and probably RV as well. He was quite difficult, but it was a decent conversation. But those type of ones where it's like difficult to kind of get stuff out of them because for whatever reason, whether they're just a bit wary of me or they don't know like what angle I'm going to come at them. But even those, it just kind of sharpens your skills anyway. So, yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like your approach, similar to Roshan and I at DBW, is very like, you're just yourself and you share as much as you ask. And, you know, there's a real exchange of information and just personality. So what do you do when people just don't want to share or don't want to talk?
You just have to plow through and like push. And you just be like, yeah. And then you kind of just, you either tell them like, loosen up a little bit, or like, why are you being so, with me, I'll be like, why are you not, what is this? Like, why are you not saying anything?
Just calling them off.
What's going on? What's the point of this? But you just have to plow through. And honestly, like, because you will get those people and those type of people actually help you for whenever you do kind of like the live streaming stuff, because it's like, you can't, sometimes if someone's awkward in an interview, you can edit around it and make it, if there's like a long pause or it gets a bit awkward, you can cut the gap down, you can make it not seem like such a long pause. Do you get what I mean? There's so many things you can do, but when it's live, there's nothing you can do. If the person's just giving you one word answers, then you have to literally work around it. So I see all of it as like a learning type of thing, if I'm being honest with you.
Going back to what you said about kind of where you were at 25 or 27 and kind of where you are now at 33, do you think that there's anything that scares you the most in terms of wanting to accomplish things or being afraid that you won't accomplish certain things? Like, what is the scariest thing now that you're at this age?
I think the thought of like how long things will last, if that makes sense, because, you know, nothing really lasts forever. So so you kind of have the idea of like, okay, you know, just how long things will last, if that makes sense.
I mean, will you be able to do what you love?
Right. Yeah. How long? And like in an ideal world, if you do it strategically and you think about where you want to be placed, then you can have like a long lasting career. And I think that's why I'm kind of happy with how mine has been, because it's been like a gradual thing. It's been like a steady growth. And I like that. I like that element of being a steady growth. So far, that's probably my main thing of, you know, just making sure that you stay current and you stay, but not current in a corny way, but like authentically current, if that makes sense. You know, you can see people like really trying to be current and it's so corny and cheesy and cringe. It's like, oh God, just let it go, babe. Like, honestly, just let it all go, please. So I would say like growing old gracefully, like in your career, but in a nice way.
Yeah, I think the whole thing about authenticity is important, right? Like when Roshan and I started DBW, it was very, very organic. I think I had just gone through a really shitty breakup.
Right. She
hated her job. We were thrown together in a WhatsApp group. And thankfully, thank God, we got along.
Right, right.
it just became another avenue for us to do what we love to do, which is to support Black women. And we'll ride it for as long as we can in terms of how long we're able to use this as a platform to support Black women and share with Black women. And then something will just organically happen again that will allow us to pivot, right? What do you think your next pivot will be? Like, what's next for you?
I definitely kind of, I definitely want to start getting into documentaries. That's like something that I'm really interested in doing. And so, yeah, that's the thing. And we'll see what happens with this whole acting thing. Keeps knocking on the door. And so we'll see what happens with that. But I've been like having a few auditions here and there and whatnot. So we'll see what happens with it. But as it stands, like I like doing unapologetic. I like all those type of things. I like the panel-based shows and the current, you know, current affairs shows where we get to talk about things that are happening. I enjoy doing that with Yinka. So that type of like just building like my TV presence, I think, is like my main thing over the next couple of years.
And you have season 2 coming up, right?
Yeah, season 2 is coming. It got recommissioned. So that was really cool. That was like a nice thing to hear and to receive the news. So that was good. Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
And what do you have planned coming up for season 2? Do you have any exciting?
Well, I don't even know. It's definitely like bigger and better. Definitely more different guests, more diverse guests, and definitely not holding back. Like, do you know what I mean? I think we figured it out in this season 1, and now we're gonna like really dive deep in now. You know what I mean?
So I feel like, as I said before, a lot of changes have happened. You've grown so much in your career. I'm sure that's been complemented by kind of personal growth and learning about yourself. And I think the pandemic in particular has been most people will say, oh, you know, I had so much time to reflect and grow and all that kind of stuff. And we ask this question every time someone comes on the show. And we asked you when you came on last time, what makes you a dope Black woman? I'm not going to remind you of what you said, but I would like to know what your answer is today. What do you think makes you a dope Black woman? I'll tell you what you said afterwards to see if it's different.
I think what makes me a dope Black woman is that this is going to sound so like because of the show, but I feel like I'm very unapologetic. I am who I am, like, and I don't I'm opening to listening to other people's opinions, of course, and taking them in, but kind of what I believe, I will stand by it. And even if that means I'm going to get dragged or rinsed or people are going to call me like names and insult me, like what I believe in and what I'm passionate about, I will always stand by it or them. Whatever that is, if it's a person or a movement or an idea and an opinion, I will always stand by it. And I think that's what makes me a dope Black woman, to be fair.
You actually said pretty much the same exact thing last time.
Hey!
The level of authenticity.
Because it's true. I think like that's basically what makes me, I think that's what makes a lot of people just dope, like Black women. Do you get what I mean? And the fact that, you know, we go through a lot on a daily basis, you know what I mean? And we still keep plowing through. We still keep doing whatever we need to do. You know, I love that a lot of us are kind of just like leaning into our vulnerability as well recently. And I'm enjoying that, seeing that a lot of Black women are kind of just like, oh, who cares about this whole like strong Black woman narrative, and every day I have to be strong and I have to be hard and I have to like, you know, be this person that is not like, can't be upset or can't be emotional or can't show how I feel or can't show that actually, no, I do feel like overlooked by the world, and I'm allowed to say that without people calling me weak. So I love that for us now, that people are just like, no, I'm going to say how I feel and I'm not going to be afraid to.
And it actually takes a lot of courage and strength to be able to share your vulnerabilities, right? To be
exactly,
able to
100%, yeah. Yeah, because a lot of times, like, they use it against us. Like, you know what I mean? You're vulnerable and it's like, oh, yeah, I thought you were this and I thought you were that. And it's just like, well, no, I can be actually everything in one. I'm allowed to be vulnerable. I'm allowed to be strong. I'm allowed to be, you know, moist or, like, lovey-dovey, but I still not put up with any bullshit either. So do you get what I mean? Like, I can, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these things, I don't have to be either or. I can be everything. Like everyone else gets to be everything. Do you get what I mean?
Is it difficult to do that in the industry, like under the white gaze, as it were?
I think it's difficult to do it under, yes, the white gaze, but I think it's actually more ourselves to each other. Mm-hmm. So when you are like, when you are maybe a little bit vulnerable, you might have other Black women telling you, oh, why are you doing that? You're making us look weak. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? Or why are you talking about these things? Or, you know, do you get what I mean? So, and I think it's ourselves and also underneath the Black men gaze as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as a Black woman, you can't be this, or you can't talk about this, or you shouldn't do this. I remember one guy went, it wasn't even a date, I went somewhere and he was there and we ended up going to get food after, and he, like, I remember I wanted to take the pizza home. And I was like, I'm going to take the pizza home because I hadn't eaten all of it.
Yeah.
But, oh, who knows, probably in the car on the way home, I might just have a nibble of the pizza. And he was like, why would you do that? And I was like, what do you mean, why would I do that? And he was just like, yeah, well, and he was like Caribbean. And I was just like, what? Typical Caribbean man, like just coming up with bullshit stuff. And he was like, oh, why would you do that? That's like, you don't eat on the street. You're supposed to eat at a table. You're supposed to eat at home. And I was like, who came up with this stuff? I was like, I've paid for my food. If I want to eat, take a little bite of my pizza that I've just paid for in the back of my car, then I can do that. Like, who are you? Like, do you get what I mean? And it wasn't like, oh, because the Uber driver might not want you to eat. It was like, it was simply all these like
appearances.
Yeah, like, you're not supposed to do that in public as a woman. Why are you eating like this? Why, like, where? And I think he was something like, that's not how your mum would have brought you up, or something along the lines of that. And I was just like, ooh, go away. But I feel like this is what we always do. We have all these like things that we should culturally, do you get what I mean? Like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. So yeah, I think it's hard. We're actually just hard on ourselves as people, as a community, as a culture. We're quite hard on each other. And if you think differently from another Black person as well, that's an issue. So I think I would say more in-house than out-house do I feel the pressure, if that makes sense.
For sure. Yeah. I get that. As you said, especially with Black men, sometimes there are so many expectations. You have to be virginal. You have to be dainty. You have to be feminine, but you have to be a freak when it's time to be a freak. It's too much. It's too
much. Too many things.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, we look forward to Unapologetic Season 2. We look forward to more of the ZZ Mills show. We look forward to seeing you on the silver screen.
Thank you.
It's been really great just to watch. As someone who is, you know, we have this podcast and, you know, we do hosting ourselves. It's just really great to have kind of someone who's doing it and doing it well and doing it unapologetically, no pun intended, of course.
Thank you.
So don't forget to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically Black.
You're at a match event when someone asks,
so what did you think of my cocktail making skills?
Well, oh no, my first match event and I did my sheep laugh. Maybe he didn't notice. Oh, who am I kidding? He's going to tell his friends he met a farm animal. Quick, say something.
Did I just laugh like a sheep?
You've really sheared me up.
He's really funny. Definitely a keeper.
Join a community full of keepers with Match Events. Download Match and start something real.